Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in, Monday edition of the show. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. It's National Championship Monday. That's the good news. The bad news is it's the last day of college basketball for the 2023-24 season. And we thought today, even though this is an IU-based program, the big storyline would be Purdue. Can they win a national championship? Can they play with Connecticut, who has basically ran through the tournament to this late point, to this championship game? We'll see. But who knew last night when most of us were preparing for bed and closing out a busy weekend, John Calipari would pull a surprise and be working on an exit from Kentucky. He is, by all reports out there, at some point today or tomorrow going to officially be named the next men's basketball coach at Arkansas. And the coaching carousel continues on a level that I don't think any of us thought this offseason was possible. And it's amazing that one change affects another, which affects another. And Coach Calipari headed to Arkansas. That is just unbelievable news. A shocking development, really, in the college basketball world as we prepare for the national championship game tonight. Let's look at the show lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. We are live and on location at beautiful Valley View Golf Club here in Floyd's Knobs, Indiana. It's the Solar Eclipse Open today. Big event, lots going on here, and Jay Biggs, the pro at Valley View, you may have heard him on our show Friday. He is with us here as we overlook the course just outside of the clubhouse, a beautiful setting. The sun is bright and ready to take in some golf and the eclipse a little bit later today here at Valley View. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. Also, it's Monday, so Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join. We'll talk the latest with IU despite the national championship and all the Calipari news. There has been some movement over the weekend as far as who Indiana is targeting out of the portal, and it was a dead period over the weekend. No visits, no real interactions from a recruiting or portal standpoint, but always plenty to get to here in the offseason, and we'll do that with Zach. And then later on Monday, Chad Gilbert, athletic director at Charlestown High School, IHSAA executive board member. He is with us on Mondays. We talk local sports, still recapping the high school basketball season, and more with Chad when he's with us today. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. And right now, Jay Biggs, the pro here at Valley View, the general manager here at Valley View, is with me. And I tell you what, I don't know what the rest of the day looks like, but right now, it's a busy course, and it is beautiful out here. The course looks great, and the weather, Jay, is outstanding.
Yeah, we timed that. This worked out really well for us for the day. We're at about 100 players or so playing today, and got a lot going on. So looking forward to when it gets dark, so we can hit some glow balls in the dark and have a few games going on while that happens.
Also, I know you mentioned that Friday when you joined us to promote today's happenings. So what's the time frame on that, and more on the glow thing? That's interesting.
Well, as we had one of our teammates came out and says, hey, will you do anything for the eclipse? And we got thinking about it, and you have to do glow ball, I guess, is about the thing that made the most sense. So at about 2:45, we're going to gather everybody up. We've got a 75-yard shot, so we'll have a big line of players, and they're going to hit a glow ball. You know, they're all tagged with their names and that type of thing for a couple $100 prize. In the middle of their golf round, then they'll go back and play. play the rest of the round.
Sounds like fun. Got to do something to take advantage of this very unique situation. And I tell you what, we're here. We're elevated. We're here in Floyd's Knobs. I was talking to some of your staff as I went in the bar before the show, and Chuck Freiberger, longtime friend, does a lot of maintenance work for you. Sounds like that there are people may come just to enjoy the view and the scene here of the eclipse, maybe have a drink or some food from the pro shop, from the bar. So this might be a good place to take it in if you've got a friend or a husband that's out here golfing today.
Yeah, it's a great spot. You know, the views are spectacular up here. We're going to have a cookout for everybody, $2 blue moons and some different things like that to entice people and just make a fun day out of the event.
So. All right, we're at Valley View Golf Club here in Floyd's Knobs. The Solar Eclipse Open. This is a great event, a very unique idea to pair with the solar eclipse today, and going to be an interesting day and a fun day here at Valley View. So we invite you to come on out. Jay, before, I know you got lots going on here. You got your radio and you're busy, people yelling for you. I got to ask you a couple sports things. Were you surprised last night when this news began to break that Calipari leaving Kentucky for Arkansas? It caught everybody off guard, I think.
Yeah, I was. I'm an IU guy, but I was very surprised. You know, it's guy's a great coach and done a lot of great things, so I was just surprised that it did happen. But yeah.
Also got to ask you about the national championship game tonight. You mentioned you're an IU guy. We're an IU show. But respect Matt Painter and love the fact he's got a lot of Indiana high school basketball products on his roster. Any prediction on tonight? And
oh, boy.
Are you pulling for Purdue?
I'm pulling for Purdue. Okay. My father went to Purdue. I actually was an assistant golf pro back in the late 80s at Delaware Country Club in Muncie.
Sure.
So Matt was playing then, and his dad's a great guy, attorney in Muncie. So great family, and sure, he'd love to see him.
Absolutely.
See him do well.
All right, Jay Biggs, GM here at Valley View. Jay, great event today. I know it's going to be packed. It's already bustling here. And thanks for including us in your big day here.
Thanks for being here.
All right,
thanks.
Jay Biggs with us to start the program. Justin Kalen, producer of this show, is on site with me here at Valley View. And, Justin, I think there's a few things we just need to talk through here in this headline segment. And reminder, the Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Number one, you've been here all day since about 6 a.m.,
yep.
And our morning show here on the Big X is very much a Kentucky-dominated program. You hear from a lot of rabid fans and listeners of that show. So you probably here at 11 a.m. in the morning as we do this show live from Valley View have about as good a gauge as anybody could on what the fan base, that UK fan base, thinks about this sudden and surprising move from Cal, who it appears is headed to Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like all's good. I mean, you saw the way the season ended, Matt, with that loss to Oakland. Everybody at that point was very impatient with Cal. They were growing impatient with Cal if they weren't already impatient with him. So it's almost like what happened last night is what they wanted to happen all along, except for now they're in a better spot because they don't have to pay the buyout. Cal just took care of that for them. And that was the kind of the running joke this morning on Kentucky Roll Call, is the fact that, yeah, Cal has done so much for the state of Kentucky in way of charitable donations, all that stuff. But when you look back on it, this may be his biggest charitable contribution so far, because they saved that $33 million and they get a new coach, which is seemingly what they wanted all along.
Do you think this boils down to Cal, who, I don't know him, you don't know him, but he is an interesting character. We can't deny that. I think he's had a lot of successes at Kentucky. He obviously is an outstanding recruiter. I think he could do really well at Arkansas. But does this boil down to how the season, the last couple seasons have ended, and maybe he feels the pressure, maybe a little disrespect that he's not wanted at the level I think Cal needs to be wanted as the type of person and personality he is?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps that's part of it. I mean, when you look down the list of all their losses in the tournament the past few years, what they've won one game in the last five tournaments. So that's not what Kentucky wants. That's not what Coach Cal wants. So I think their disagreement on that has really just caused a wedge between him and the fan base almost, and has kind of separated him. So I think now is probably the best time that he could have gone a different direction. I don't know if Arkansas was the right call, but who knows?
I think he could do well there.
We'll see.
We got to tie this into Indiana, so bear with me for just a second, Justin. If this had been a few years ago when Archie Miller had just gotten the can, had this lined up, would Indiana have ever reached out to a character like Calipari, and would he be interested in Indiana if we could go back in time a little bit?
That's a tough question to answer. I don't know that. I mean, you'd be a fool to be Indiana and not have interest in a guy like Calipari. Now, he hasn't won at the highest level like many have expected over the years, but he's getting recruits, and that would add fun to this fan base. If you're getting five stars in every year, that'd be awesome. So I don't know if there would have ever been any mutual interest there. If you're asking me if I would have taken Cal as an Indiana fan, absolutely I would have taken Cal as an Indiana fan.
Yeah, no question. Justin Kalen, Matt Dennison here at Valley View Golf Club for the Solar Eclipse Open. Justin, two more things on Cal and Kentucky, then we'll get into normal stuff here on the Hoosier Report, right? Okay. The first thing is I'm really intrigued by this opening at Kentucky as a college basketball fan, because every time Indiana or Louisville or some of these jobs come open, all the people on the text line, everybody I run into says, oh, Brad Stevens, Billy Donovan, Jay Wright come back for Louisville. That's going to be the move,
the dream
Matt, for Cardinals. And it never happens. It didn't happen at Indiana. It didn't happen at Louisville. People were pissed that Pat Kelsey from College of Charleston, who's that crazy guy? They were pissed initially that he was named coach of U of L after a great press conference and some early social media work on his part. I think he's won that fan base over, at least for now.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what happens with Kentucky? Do they make the play at Donovan? I think they do. Do they make a play at some of these other big names and Jay Wright? You got to believe that they do. I'm curious if Kentucky, a blue blood, one of the best, even though they haven't had the Final Fours of the national championships the last number of years that they want, can they land one of these big dudes? We never got a chance to see it at Duke because of the situation. John Shire, former player, Coach K loyalist, longtime assistant, coach in waiting. It was all set up and ready. There was no chance for Duke to go out and see what kind of power they had to land a big-time coach. But with Kentucky in this situation, in this time frame, there is. Can Kentucky get one of the big dogs? And I don't know if they can.
Now, I think Kentucky's still in a spot where they can get whoever they want. However, those big dogs you speak of, I feel like three of them are just unattainable. They're not going anywhere. Billy Donovan's one of them. I don't think he'll ever come back to the collegiate level. Another one of those guys would be what's another name you said?
Brad Stevens.
Yeah, Brad Stevens is not going
anywhere.
Jay Wright is going to stay retired. So those are the three. I think they're kind of white whales, if you will. I just do not see that panning out for Kentucky. But there are coaches that they can get. Dan Hurley has been a hot name in the streets this morning. Everybody seems like every Kentucky fan wants Dan Hurley, and why wouldn't you? He's had all kinds of success at UConn.
Well,
so
you got to think Hurley is going to try to win a championship tonight and turn the Kentucky opportunity possibly into a major, major raise.
Yeah.
That just seems the Dan Hurley personality we see on TV.
Yeah, and I think that would be the best fit. I mean, he's had a lot of success at UConn, but he can do the exact same thing at Kentucky, right? I mean, I don't see any reason why he couldn't. So, yeah, that's the name I'm going to be paying attention to. But really, Kentucky can go out and get whoever they want. So I've heard Nate Oates a lot. It's really whoever they want to go out and get, I think they can do.
Yeah, be interesting to see. Be real interesting to see. Final Kentucky thought before we get to normal subjects here on this show. And the texter on the Thornton's text line reading my mind. Texter says, I'm hoping Boogie Fland opens his recruiting up and comes to Indiana. Now, is Cal going to take some of these guys with him to Arkansas? I think he will. I think Cal will get big players at Arkansas. I really do. But Boogie Fland, Indiana was right there on him, everybody tells me, until the closing minutes of that recruitment. And it's going to be interesting to see if he opens up. Can Mike Woodson come back in and do what he's done the last two, 3 years, every year he's been in Indiana, I think, and get another big addition? Already got Bryson Tucker, at late like this. Can he do it again with Fland? I think if he opens his recruitment, Indiana's got to be a player in that, right?
Yeah, you'd imagine. Yeah, I mean, like you said, they were in on him pretty early, and they were thick in the recruitment. So, yeah, I'd love to see a Boogie Fland switch his mind and come to Indiana. I do think Cal will keep a number of those recruits and bring them with him to Arkansas, but there are going to be guys for the taking, like a Boogie Fland. And then you think about the guys that Kentucky had on last year's team that are already in the transfer portal. Maybe a guy like a Duke Thiero I've seen. He's been in contact with Indiana. He'd be somebody that would be really good for Indiana, just his whole hustle mentality, the whole bulldog mentality. I'd love to see a Duke Thiero on Indiana's roster. But there's going to be lots of options, and we'll see if the rest of college basketball can take advantage.
Texter says Scott Drew or Mark Pope to UK.
Yeah, Scott Drew's been another big
name. Yeah, maybe so. But, you know, I would think Kentucky fans want better than Scott Drew. And yeah. I know that Scott Drew's really good, but and maybe they'll have to settle for him. And maybe Scott Drew won't come to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. What if Kentucky drops down and Drew doesn't take it, Oates doesn't take it? We're already counting that Donovan and some of those big names don't take it. What if they drop down and have to hire their version of Pat Kelsey yeah. at Kentucky? It could happen.
Well, and that's what we talked about this morning a lot is the fact that Calipari was Arkansas's Pat Kelsey, right? I mean, they got turned down by Jerome Tang. There was a couple other guys that didn't want any part of it either. So Calipari was kind of the Pat Kelsey for Arkansas, which I just find fascinating.
Yeah, and I think Calipari, though, his connections, the Tyson family, he's the guy that can go in there and get the real money flowing. Yeah. I mean, Tang is interesting, and, you know, there's others. But I think Cal can resurrect a lot of programs.
I really do.
All right, Justin, thanks for being with me. Let's talk through some other topics. We're here at Valley View. It's beautiful. One of my favorite things about this course is when you pull in, you see the Bulldog of New Albany, you see the Highlander of Floyd Central. This is the home golf course for a lot of high school golf in the spring and the golf season. So it's one of my favorite things about this course. But, Justin, national championship game tonight. I have been so set on Connecticut, even if it was Purdue in the championship game, that the Huskies would roll, that this would not be an exciting national championship. But my thoughts over the last 24 to 48 hours have changed. I think tonight is going to be a good game. My mm-hmm. money is still on Connecticut, but I think that Purdue and Edie and the guard play is going to be so important for Purdue, really in this game, I think, across the board tonight. But I'm very, very intrigued now about this matchup. And even going in Thursday, Friday, I thought, Purdue will probably beat North Carolina State. But I think Connecticut will roll. I feel a little different now for whatever reason. I think it's going to be a good national championship.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be fantastic. And it's the matchup we all wanted looking at it a couple weeks ago when we knew there was the possibility of UConn-Purdue. They're very similar teams. Now, Klingon's not as big as Zach Edey, but it's still going to be a fun matchup inside. The guard play, very similar, so that'll be entertaining to watch as well. And I'm going to say something a lot of Hoosier fans are thinking listening to this show. You heard Jay Biggs. You've kind of been on the whole Purdue train as well. I'm not cheering for Purdue tonight. Let's go UConn. Win that thing by 25 points. Trey Kaufman Wren, I said it a couple weeks ago, he can go off for 35 all he wants. That's great. I love to watch Trey Kaufman Wren hoop, but if Purdue wants to go ahead and just get smoked in this, I wouldn't be mad at all.
Yeah, I get that. I really do. But, you know, the more I hear Matt Painter speak, and there's been a lot of Matt Painter the last couple weeks, especially at all the press availabilities out in Phoenix, and I watch all of them. Well, Matt Painter is impressive.
Yeah.
I think he is one of the good guys in coaching. And you got to wonder, had things been a little bit different? An IU fan growing up, you know, what if he was the coach at Indiana right now? And I know it's not really fair to think about, but it's just hard for me to not want to see Indiana high school products do well. Indiana high school basketball has been a big part of who I am and what I do. And he's got so many good players, and I think Braden Smith, of all players on that Purdue roster, we talk about guard play tonight, is going to be a very important person in the national championship game if Purdue is to keep it close and if the Boilermakers are to win. But, yeah, hearing Trey Kaufman Wren's name, I'm not close to Trey. I'm just not a good local player. Mm-hmm. Love Coach Hoffman at Silver Creek, love that program. But hearing Sellersburg, Indiana, on the radio, hearing Trey's name on television, I mean, hearing Trey's name, seeing Trey, seeing Indiana high school basketball get some glory, it's a good thing. So
yeah, well, and I'll speak to that as well, because I actually live in Sellersburg, and I'll tell you right now, Saturday night, every restaurant in Sellersburg was packed to the gills. I mean, you couldn't get in anywhere if you wanted to get out and watch those games. The whole city's been really excited about Trey Kaufman Wren, Silver Creek as well. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch, but like I said, just go ahead and lose it. That's fine.
Yeah.
I've always said, Matt, that Purdue will never win a championship. So I'm going to have to get off that if they win it tonight. I'm too stubborn to do that.
Final first segment topic, women's basketball, the championship game yesterday, Caitlin Clark, Iowa, unbelievable. South Carolina, amazing, undefeated champions.
Yep.
I know more people that are talking about and texting about and watching women's college basketball, or that watched it this past month, than I could ever think of before. People that maybe got on me for paying a little bit of attention to it or talking about the IU women's team some. Mm-hmm. And I think college basketball has taken a major turn for the better the last few years, but the last month or so, it really seems to have taken a good turn. And the storylines that this tournament produced, a lot of it thanks to Caitlin Clark as an individual, and I think thanks to South Carolina as a team because of their dominance. I just feel like women's college basketball is in a wonderful, wonderful place right now, and I'm excited to see where it goes from here. But, wow, Caitlin Clark, Justin, I will watch her in the Big Three if she does that, what, $5 million deal. I'll watch her in the WNBA. She's going to be here in Indiana. How awesome is that? She's a winner, and I can't wait to see how she handles the future and how she succeeds in the future.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, she's been a lot of fun to watch this season. I've compared her often to, like, the female Steph Curry. Just her range from deep is pretty incredible, the way she pulls up and just with confidence and knocks it down. I really enjoyed watching Caitlin Clark, but it's been more than just her. I mean, you think about how women's basketball has gotten so many eyeballs the last couple months or whatever. It's because of the star power, man. I mean, you look at that Final Four, even the Elite Eight had a ton of star power with Juju Watkins from USC, but there's a lot of really talented female basketball players right now, and that is helping people get engaged in their fandom.
Absolutely. Final note here, women's basketball note, according to Mitchell Northam of USA Today Sports, IU women's coach Terry Morin, quote, rejected overtures, end quote, related to Tennessee's head coaching vacancy. The Lady Vols fired Kelly Harper last week and announced Sunday the hiring of Kim Caldwell, the Marshall women's basketball coach. Terry Morin, Justin Kalen, it sounds like, is here to stay in Bloomington, and that is a good thing for women's basketball in our state.
Yeah, and why wouldn't she stay? Why would she want to go anywhere? The program was in complete disarray when she got there. She's been able to turn it around, and not only turn it around, but have a ton of success. I mean, you look at that Sweet 16 loss against the eventual champion, South Carolina. Indiana was right there. They were down 22 in that game, got it back to a one-possession game, and had a chance to win it. So, yeah, it definitely seems like an upward projection for this Indiana women's team. They do lose a lot this year, so they'll have to replace that somehow, some way, but transfer portal, nil. I mean, options are going to be there for Terry Morin and the women's team.
Definitely. All right, we'll head to a commercial break, come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. What a great day. Beautiful weather. I'm here at Valley View Golf Club in Floyd's Knobs. We're live overlooking the putting green and the 18th green. Is that right, Justin? Do
Correct.
I have that right?
No, that is the ninth.
Ninth green. Yes. Ninth hole green right in front of us beyond the putting green. A beautiful day. Got a cold Diet Coke. I get to see John Spears after my show before he comes on. And get this, Dugan Ryan is here. He's a legend.
That's how you know it's big.
He's a legend in sports radio. The guy wandered off somewhere. Who knows where he went. And he just spilled his coffee all over the ground here and all over my shoe, then got up and walked off. So it's a great day with great people here at Valley View. The Solar Eclipse Open. And we'll head to a break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman. We'll get into some IU stuff. We'll get his thoughts on Purdue in the national championship game tonight. And then Chad Gilbert is ahead as well as we talk basketball and local sports. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back at on this Monday show here at Valley View Golf Club for the Solar Eclipse Open. Beautiful day, and the eclipse coming up later today. Going to be a lot of fun to take all of this in from Valley View here in scenic Floyd's Knobs, Indiana, home of the Highlanders of Floyd Central High School. And a quick shout-out to men's or boys basketball coach Fonzo White and the Highlanders. He invited me to speak at their banquet last night. It was at Joe Huber's restaurant. Great food, great deal. They had a wonderful setting for their basketball team to wrap up Coach White's first season. It's been fun to see the energy that he has brought to the Floyd Central program, and it was great to be with those guys last night at Joe Huber's for their postseason banquet. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Good text here. Texter says, think about the two teams in the women's Final Four. IU pummeled Iowa by 16 points in Bloomington and then scared South Carolina, losing by four in the Sweet 16. I hope Terry Morin can recruit to fill the holes we'll lose to graduation to keep the high level of play we've had these last few years. And that's a great point. Indiana beat the Iowa team that took South Carolina, I don't want to say down to the wire, but challenged them in the national championship game. Now, Iowa did get them pretty good in the first meeting, I think it was. But also that the way Indiana played, were able to hold in there, come back against South Carolina. A big season for the IU women's team, and going to be interesting, I agree with you, Texter, to see if Terry Morin can continue to bring in some big dogs. And we talk a lot about the portal for the men's team with all the openings, six scholarships, but for the women as well, it's going to be an important portal offseason. I guess that's just par for the course in college basketball. We'll go to Zach Osterman now of the Indianapolis Star. We're remote here at Valley View, so we're hoping that we've got a good connection with Zach. But, Zach, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, how we doing?
Good. I got two questions for you. Where are you watching the eclipse at today, and can Purdue win a national championship tonight? How about that opening question?
I'm staying close to home, as has been recommended by the city of Bloomington. No real trouble doing that. This is my first day back at work after a couple weeks off, but I'll probably just step outside when the fun starts. As for Purdue, I think they can, and you know, I mean, this is the first time in dog years that I've predicted the national championship game correctly. Not that, you know, the rest of my bracket was pretty rough, but I think Purdue can. You know, if you're asking kind of what I like about this matchup, I think number one, obviously, it's easy to say it, but you cannot get past the two bigs. Donovan Klingon has gotten so much better from last season to this season. Zach Edey is one of the most dominant players I think I've ever seen in the college game. You know, just his range of ways to impact the game in the post. You got two teams who's, you know, it's the old sort of styles make fights thing. You've got two teams that kind of complement each other pretty well. Neither, you know, for example, neither one really forces a ton of turnovers. Neither one turns the ball over a lot. You know, if anything, I think it might help Purdue a little bit that one of the things UConn doesn't really do is force turnovers, because turnovers have generally been this team's biggest Achilles heel. But, you know, you're sitting here and you're looking at these matchups and, you know, Purdue's one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. UConn's one of the best three-point defense teams in the country. You know, UConn's got a remarkably efficient defense. Purdue's got a remarkably efficient offense. Again, you know, Connecticut doesn't turn the ball over much. Purdue doesn't force many turnovers. Like, it's hard to parse this. It is one that it feels like is just going to come down to individual matchups, and can enough guys just basically win their one-on-one battles. I think it's a night where where Purdue badly needs Braden Smith to show up. You know, I think it's probably fair to say he didn't have his best game against NC State. He had 3 points. He was 1 of 9 from the field. 8 rebounds and 6 assists, 3 steals, but also 5 turnovers. You know, this is the kind of game where if you tell me right now that Zach Edey is at least just kind of going to meet, you know, his baseline, and Braden Smith's going to have a really good game, I think Purdue's got a really good shot. Because I look at some of these other matchups, you know, individually, and I just think, you know, it feels like UConn's got just a handful of things going for it, basically. And, you know, I mean, KenPom's only got them favored by three. I think that's fair. I think it's that close. But, you know, if I'm Purdue, I'm not necessarily looking forward to figuring out how to guard a backcourt that goes 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". I don't think Alex Caravan is going to be bothered if Purdue plays big. And I don't think that Alex Caravan is going to be bothered if Purdue goes small. You know, the maybe one area where I feel like Purdue's got a good sort of leg up is I think Purdue might be a deeper team. It's going to be a fascinating game. I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's the two best teams in the country, not just now, but across the course of the season, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Zach, keeping it on Purdue, but maybe putting in a little bit of an IU perspective to things, with Purdue's success this season in the tournament, and let's say they go on to win a national championship and pull the, I guess you'd call it upset or mild upset over Connecticut tonight, what does that do to the IU-Purdue rivalry from an IU perspective, and how does that change the feel of college basketball in our state, or does it?
I think it probably does in some ways. I mean, to your second question first, I think anytime, you know, you add a national championship to the state, I think it does change things. I think it certainly would elevate Purdue. You know, frankly, I think it would be good for the Big Ten. I think it's past time the Big Ten kind of takes this stick out of the hands of the rest of college basketball that everybody gets to beat it with. And it's been, you know, however many years, I guess it's what, 24 now since the Big Ten won a national championship, and a whole bunch of different teams have kind of gotten their turn at that table. This will be Purdue's. Obviously, Indiana's been there. Michigan State's been there. Wisconsin's been there. Illinois's been there. Ohio State's been there. At some point, Michigan's been there. At some point, somebody's just got to break this streak. You know, would it change the dynamic with Indiana? I certainly, from a fan perspective, I'm sure it would. And, you know, one of the things that Indiana fans, I think, have always liked to sort of lord over Purdue fans is that Purdue's never won a national championship in this modern context. You know, trying to look at this as objectively as possible, rivalry is part of what makes sports great. I'm not suggesting people should stop caring about rivalry. I do think there's an extent to which you have to be really careful when you start trying to measure yourself next to your rivals, because it can turn into kind of chasing somebody else's success a lot faster than you want it to, if that makes any sense. I think, you know, just as has been the case for Purdue at times in the past, Indiana's biggest concern has just got to be Indiana, you know, and yeah, sure, I get it. It's, you know, for some people, it won't be fun watching your rival win a national title if Purdue does win tonight. But in the same breath, you know, I mean, if turn it around, I mean, Purdue's won the most Big Ten championships of any team in the conference. It's been, you know, among the most consistent teams in the Big Ten for about the last 7-8 years. I mean, if Purdue was sitting there just all consumed with Indiana's prior successes, then it probably wouldn't be having too much success itself. And again, fans can argue about that, but I'm talking about what Matt Painter needs to worry about, or what Mike Woodson needs to worry about, or, you know, people in charge, people in, you know, in positions of, you know, substantial sort of authority and control. So I'm sure it changes it in some ways, but I don't think Indiana would let it change in too many, I guess.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us here on this Monday show. Zach, a little bit of a slow weekend as far as IU basketball news is related, because there is a dead period during this Final Four weekend, extended weekend, I guess you would call it. But maybe some players announcing Indiana is on their list, and it feels like the transfer portal, I know there's been a lot of names go in, and I know that Indiana has made contact with a lot of people, and there have been some people take visits, and Mike Woodson and his staff have had some in-home visits as well, and there's definitely a lot of names out there that people, fans, are interested in seeing if they ultimately become a Hoosier or not. But in some ways, as the Final Four National Championship wraps up tonight, it feels like the portal is just getting started, and that there are more names to come as far as entering the portal, and maybe some big options for Indiana, perhaps Boogie Fland at Kentucky with the news on Coach Cal coming out last night. But there just seems to be a lot of things still up in the air when it comes to players that could be available in the portal or otherwise for next season.
I think that's fair. I think, I mean, number one, you're right. Like, there's the portal kind of comes in waves. There's a whole bunch of players that know they're going to enter the portal as soon as their season ends. There's players that kind of come in as teams are eliminated from the NCAA tournament, and then you get guys that maybe wanted to explore their, you know, their pro options first, or maybe they look around, they see a couple guys come in, and they think, you know, maybe my role's not going to be the same as it was a year ago, and they go in the portal. It is also just kind of weird, and listen, you know, it's a whole separate discussion, the portal calendar, but it is also kind of this weird dynamic of the portal as it stands today that is basically sort of, you know, there's this initial surge of activity, then everything just goes completely dead for this 1 week that you talk about, the dead period because of the Final Four. And then it sort of feels like coming out the other side of that, and listen, we haven't done this enough times to say that we're sure this is kind of the rhythm, but it feels like kind of coming out the other side of that is when you really start to see a high volume of players not just taking visits but cutting things down and committing in fairly short order, maybe within just a few weeks. And things starting to kind of clarify themselves for teams, you know, in terms of their needs, their targets, who they can add, who they can get in the door, et cetera. And I think Indiana's obviously got to be one of those. You know, I would expect Indiana to have a lot of guys on campus, you know, this weekend, certainly next weekend, which is a little five weekend, you know, possibly the weekend after that. I think Indiana's going to start really kind of, it feels like Indiana kind of cast a wide net, laid a lot of groundwork. Then there was this dead period, and it feels like things maybe are going to need to start happening more meaningfully for a team that's still got half a roster to fill, got a lot of needs to put, you know, kind of to put together or put to rest, I guess is probably the better way to say it. It does feel like things are going to need to start happening fairly fast.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. I want to flip to women's basketball for a minute. Justin and I, in the first segment today, we're talking about just how fun the women's NCAA tournament was. The Final Four was outstanding. The national championship game, seems like everybody was watching yesterday. And I can remember years where people would say, why do you care about watching the women's Final Four, the women's championship game? That has sure changed, and it has sure changed quickly. You know, Caitlin Clark of Iowa, an amazing player, and a texter reminded us over the break coming into our segment, Zach, that Indiana beat that Iowa team by 16 points in Bloomington this season, and I think Iowa got them pretty good on their home floor as well. But Indiana's women's program is in a great spot. Terry Morin, it sounds like, was contacted by Tennessee. She rejected those overtures from the Lady Vols program. It looks like she is the person for the foreseeable future in Bloomington, and it was just a great year, even for a loss in the tournament, for Indiana to get down to this undefeated, loaded South Carolina team and come back and make a run at it, get the lead all the way down to 1 point, losing by, I think it was 4 points ultimately. I think a lot of momentum, even for a Sweet 16 finish for this IU women's program. So Terry Morin is locked in. Zach, can IU make this women's success a year in, year out, basically a permanent thing?
I think so, at least to, you know, to a basic extent. Obviously, you know, when you go to the second weekend every single season, who knows? But I mean, listen, let's zoom out and kind of put this in perspective. You know, Terry Morin has been in the NCAA tournament 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the last 8 years. And would have made it 7 out of 9 had COVID not canceled the 2020 tournament. The only 2 years that Indiana didn't make the NCAA tournament in the last nine, they won 23 games in each of those seasons. And the second of those two seasons, they won the WNIT, which, you know, Terry Morin will tell anybody who asks, that was an incredibly important season in its own right in terms of really kind of building fan energy and momentum and maybe kind of a learned behavior of attendance and fan support around that program. You know, this is the third year in 4 Indiana got to the second weekend. They probably should have gotten the second weekend last season. They'll tell you that you know, falling in the round of 32 was a disappointment the year they won the Big Ten outright. My point here is, you know, there's kind of an established rhythm here, you know, and it goes back to Tyra Buss and Amanda Cahill, and then you think about sort of the Allie Patberg, Brenna Wise years, and then obviously this stretch, which has been, you know, defined in no small part by Grace Berger and Mackenzie Holmes. And yes, Indiana's going to have to replace Mackenzie Holmes, just like Indiana had to replace Grace Berger last year, but you're still going to have Sydney Parrish back. Chloe Moore McNeil back, Yarden Garzon back. You've got some, I think, some promising young players like Lily Meester and Lene Beaumont sort of coming up through, you know, from kind of your underclass ranks and things like that. I guess what I'm trying to say is just, you know, it seems like there is just kind of an established track record of winning, you know, for lack of a more artful way of putting it. If you want to add it up, Indiana is 71-17 in the last 5 years, if my very fast math while we're talking here is correct, in Big Ten play. That's 5 years, 71 wins in 5 years. That's not an accident. That's not down to just having one generational player. That's not because that's with a Big Ten that has changed hands in terms of who's been winning it, who's been the class of the league, including Indiana, obviously, through that stretch. That's with an Elite Eight and two Sweet 16s included. Never know what would have happened in that 2020 season. My point is, it just, you kind of look at it and you just feel like Terry Moran sort of has, you know, the formula down, frankly, to a certain extent. She's really good at recruiting the portal. Again, she's kind of got a nice balance of maybe knowing when to hit the portal for a player and when to, when to lean into high school recruiting and developing and things like that. And again, yes, you know, you're not just going to get, you know, you're not just going to sort of snap your fingers and replace a McKenzie Holmes, but we would have said the same thing about Allie Patberg or about Grace Berger and, you know, or Tyra Buss, and Indiana has consistently found a way. I think Indiana, it's fair to say, it's probably right to just kind of consider Indiana one of those programs, quote unquote, now in the Big Ten. And it's just a question of kind of, you know, the years that you can pull it all together and do something really special.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, he's always with us Mondays. Zach, enjoy the national championship game tonight. We'll catch up next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, Zach Osterman with us here on this Monday show. We'll head to a quick break. We're live at Valley View Golf Club in scenic Floyd's Knobs, Indiana. Chad Gilbert, the athletic director at Charlestown High School and IHSAA executive board member. He joins us in the next segment. We'll talk some hoops and get his thoughts on tonight and a little local sports as well. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
T.A. Jenkins and...
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Monday edition of the show live at Valley View Golf Club for their solar eclipse event today. And it's the home of the New Albany Bulldogs and the Floyd Central Highlanders, their boys and girls golf teams as well. So a little connection in to high school sports here at Valley View. And the course is looking great. Everything is bustling today and a big crowd expected for this solar eclipse event as they work through the day. Chad Gilbert, athletic director at Charlestown, IHSA executive board member, with me as we close things out today. And just a couple quick hitters for you, Chad. I know we don't have a lot of time, but let's start with your prediction for Purdue, Connecticut tonight in a national championship setting.
Matt, before you get started too much, make sure you got your glasses on out there. Don't look directly in the sun. And while you're at it, you know, tee one up, take a hack down the fairway, see what you got before the festivities get started.
Absolutely. It's spoken like a true educator, Chad. I appreciate all the direction and
hey,
reminders.
No, but tonight's game, you know, my gosh, how can you not root for Purdue? I mean, they've made it this far. It's kind of like we talked about last year, Virginia. You know, I know we quoted Errol Smith, you know, that you got to lose before you know how to win, and Purdue lost that game much like Virginia did. Virginia came back and won it. Hopefully this is one that Purdue can come out and get. UConn looks awfully good to me, man. I thought Alabama played as good as you could play the other night, and UConn was in control the entire time tonight. Interesting thing would be watch the set, watch the matchups on how they defend the post inside, And, you know, Braden Smith will play good. You know, he didn't play good in the Final Four game. He will play good tonight. It's who's going to be the other factor that steps up. You know, hope it's a Trey Kaufman Wren, someone here close, but it's got to be someone else who steps up and gets, you know, 15, 16 points to help Purdue get over the top.
I said that very thing. I said earlier today, I think guard play will be key both ways tonight, and I think Braden Smith, Indiana high school basketball product, will be big for Purdue if they are to keep it really close or maybe win it tonight. Chad, the other thing we got to touch on, I know we're in a text group, so I kind of get some of your thoughts and feelings maybe before you join the radio show, but Coach Cal taking a late Sunday night exit out of Kentucky. He's headed to Arkansas. If you're Mitch Barnhart, who do you hire? Who's your short list for that job?
Matt, you know, we talked about it earlier a little bit on the text thread. It's amazing how important, how much emphasis is placed on the NCAA tournament. 2 months ago, Nate Oates couldn't handle his players. He's running a rogue program. Kentucky beats him by 40. Bruce Pearl's the number one guy on the list. Well, Coach Pearl has a bad showing against Yale, and Nate Oates makes the Final Four. Now, you'd think Nate Oates would be behind the list. I think you got to throw the Brinks truck at Danny Hurley, see what he can come out with. I think there's I mean, at the end of the day, say what you want, UK fan, IU fan, Purdue fan, college basketball fan, it's still Kentucky. I think you got to swing for the fences and see what happens.
Going to be interesting to see what happens. Chad, as we go, got about a minute left. Spring sports are underway, and you and I have talked before, the role of an athletic director, all the things that happen that parents and fans and the community knows about, and then there's so much you're responsible for. And I'm talking you and all the ADs at schools across the area and state. There's things that people have no idea you've got to handle. Spring is one of the bigger challenges because of weather. I believe you've told us that before, but we're getting into that season right now.
It's a pain. It's terrible. Luckily, Charlestown's got great facilities, and we're able to keep most things going. But for most ADs, it's a terrible time of year. You know, getting your workers, your transportation, coordinate with your other teams, your fans. It's a pain, but it's a necessary pain. We'll get through and get it done. Matt, one thing for you, log off real quick. Want to say I know you talked about George Marshall just a touch, a little bit. Mr. Marshall was my principal at Charlestown High School and Hall of Fame basketball coach. And one other person who's a Jeff Hyatt to me Hall of Famer, Jimmy Cardwell, passed away as well this week. Tough seeing those good guys go. I know we've talked about this on the show more and more every year. You know, who's going to step and take those guys' shoes?
I agree. I'm glad you brought up Coach Cardwell. I know we had mentioned Coach Marshall previously. I've got something to say and something I want to share on Coach Cardwell. I'll do that tomorrow when we're back in studio. But glad you mentioned it. Sad to say, another Jeffersonville athletic legend, table as we called him, Coach Cardwell, Jimmy Cardwell, passed away over the weekend. And just sad stuff. It was expected. We knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. But he really has been just a great figure around Jeffersonville sports, specifically baseball and football, but just a great guy. He is going to be absolutely missed. We'll have more on Coach Table Cardwell, as I always called him, coming up a little bit later in the week. Chad Gilbert with us on Mondays. That's going to wrap things up. We're here at Valley View for the Solar Eclipse Open. Come on out if you've got the day off. Some great golf, a great viewing area for the eclipse later today. And my thanks to Justin Kalen on site. Roman, right, back in the WXVW studios in Jeffersonville. I'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll recap maybe a national championship for the Boilermakers. And we'll keep up with all the coaching carousel and the portal combat, as it's called, the transfer portal as well tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.